ॐ सहना भवतु, सहनौ भुनक्तु, सहवीर्यं करवावहै, तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति। So last week we did the first topic of chapter 1 of Vedanta Traders book. The chapter is called as The Role of Vedanta. The topic we did is Science and Vedanta. So firstly, what does this term Vedanta mean? Vedanta literally means the culmination of knowledge. So we explained that there is no culmination to knowledge of the external world. But the word Vedanta, which means the culmination of knowledge, means what then? You know, so we said it means that in any experience, there is an experiencer experiencing the experienced. And when you go to the experiencer, ultimately it ends with the subject, which is beyond the body, beyond the mind, beyond the intellect, which is the Atma. उसके बाद देर इज नो नोअर नोन रिलेशनशिप, देर इज एवरीथिंग, देयरफॉर दैट्स द कल्मिनेशन ऑफ नॉलेज, नोइंग द सब्जेक्ट नथिंग रिमेन्स टू बी नोन, दैट इज वॉट लिटरली द वर्ड वेदांता मीन्स। एंड ऑल्सो द अंत भाग ऑफ वेदास वेयर द उपनिषद्स आर गिवन, हेंस द उपनिषद्स आर कॉल्ड एज वेदांत, व्हिच कंटेन्स द फिलॉसफी ऑफ लाइफ एंड लिविंग, व्हिच एक्सप्लेन्स व्हाट आई जस्ट एक्सप्लेन्ड टू यू about the subject. It is that very same subject, the Atma, or the pure consciousness that pervades the entire universe. So therefore, it is the pure consciousness upon which this entire universe is projected upon. This is the knowledge we get. So, in this portion, he says, one doesn't know one's inner personality, the innermost core, the Atma, which is the real well, not knowing, we are groping in darkness. And then he went on to explain what is life. Life is nothing but series of experience. So therefore, one unit of life is one experience. And an experience is made up of the experiencer and the experienced. In the world, there is all kinds of efforts that have been put in to develop the world. But individual has not been so much focused upon. Because when you, the individual, contact the world, there is life. To improve the quality of our life, we need to improve both the ingredients, both the individual as well as the world. But unfortunately, in the world, if you see, the world is improved quite a bit, but the individual mind and intellect is not been improved so much. So the subject Vedanta deals with the mind and intellect and the Atma, which is beyond. By gaining that knowledge, one would be able to deal with life in a better way. So he says, subjective development prepares the individual to meet the objective challenges of the world, the challenges of the objective world. So without the inner preparation, it is difficult or impossible to deal in the world. Deal in the world in the sense without stress and strain. Because we lack that knowledge, we take it as very normal. Like, you know, if there is some external crisis, we believe that it is very normal to be upset. Isn't it? Oh, he is so stressed, she is so stressed because there's a wedding in the family, so much to do, so much work, you know, there is this board meeting, this is there, that is there, so we are stressed. So we think it's very normal. Whereas in the Bhagavad Gita, if you see, on the battlefield, Arjuna gets stressed. And Sri Krishna provokes him with powerful words. He stings him. He says, Putasva Kashmalamidam Vishame Samapastitam. Amarya Jushtam Ashwargyam Akirti Karamarjuna. When has this rejection come upon him? So it's not normal to feel stressed. It happens because your inside personality, the inner personality, is not developed. Your mind and intellect is not strengthened. The mind is not unified and the intellect is not strengthened. It lacks the knowledge of self. Therefore, you go through stress and strain in life. That's what he says. Subjective development prepares the individual to meet the challenges of the objective world. Doosron ko jai se pehle, khud ko jai kare. That's what Vedanta talks about. It equips you with the knowledge to make the right choice in life. When you understand about yourself and the world, basically what does Vedanta talk about? It talks about you, the individual, and the world, and the relationship between the two, how to relate, etc. So when you understand that, then you will be able to live life productively and peacefully. You will be able to combine both prosperity and peace. This is what we studied in the first topic, Science and Vedanta. Next topic is Vedanta, the base of religion. See, this term religion, a lot of people, in fact, in today's world, they say, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. You know, it's almost become a fashion now. If you say you are religious, then you look down upon. Because people also don't understand the term religion. What does it really mean? Religious has become to mean mechanical adherence to a certain religion or a matam, you know. So that's the problem. So then, I'm not religious. I'm not someone who goes to the temple, church or mosque. I'm not someone who does mechanical rituals. I believe in God. Oh, then it's so good. You're very scientific. Because this confusion is because we don't understand the term religion. What is religion? And Vedanta is the base of religion if you understand the real meaning of the term religion. The equivalent word for it in Sanskrit is yoga. Yoga and religion means the same. He explains all that in this topic, so I'm not getting into it. So, when you understand the true meaning of the term religion, then you understand that Vedanta is the knowledge that helps you to attain that goal of religion. So, there is no such thing as spiritual separate from religious, if you understand it correctly. Let's get on to this topic, Vedanta, the base of religion. Shweta, you can read.
Vedanta, the base of religion. Vedanta is known as Sanatan Dharma, meaning eternal principle. It is a systematic knowledge which gives you the true insight into life, draws you towards your innermost core, provides you knowledge that reveals your real self. Your self is essentially divine by your sinner, be you sinner or saint. Divinity is the core of every person. Vedanta helps you identify your divine self, attain your absolute state of peace and bliss. That is the goal of all religions, to discover your true nature, unfold your real self, draw the divinity out of the matter layers that veil it. Etymologically, the word religion means that which binds one to the origin. In Sanskrit also, the term yoga means to unite with the self.
So, the term religion comes from the root religare, which means to unite back to the origin. And the term yoga in Sanskrit also means the same. Yoga means union. Yuj comes from the root yuj, which means to unite. Uniting back with the origin. So, the idea is that all of us have risen from that infinite. From that infinite, this infinite universe has come about. That's what we chant at the end of every class. Om Purnamada means that is infinite, complete. Purnamidam, this is infinite. Purna, Purnamudachyate, from that infinite, this infinite has come about. Purnasya, Purnamadhaya, Purnamaiva Avashishyate. Means, if you remove infinite from infinite, what remains is infinite. This is the mantra we chant end of every class. So, all of us who seem to be finite today, you know, have literally risen from that infinite. Like water evaporates due to some heat from the ocean, and then it gets condensed and pours down as rain, gets collected, flows as rivers, getting back to the ocean. Similarly, all of us have originated from divinity, and the goal is to merge back with divinity. So Vedanta is the knowledge that helps us to lead our life here in such a way that we'll be peaceful, happy and productive, and simultaneously, slowly, slowly unite back to the origin, which is the purpose of life. So it's called Sanatana Dharma. So the principles are called eternal principles. It's applicable in all periods of time. It's not that, you know, oh, today is a world which is artificial intelligence world. Earlier it was IT. Before that, industrial revolution, agricultural revolution. These things keep changing. But the individual who will be meeting these different challenges, that person doesn't change. The individual of the past, during, you know, Sri Krishna's time or Sri Rama's time, Dwapara Yuga or whatever yuga they belong to, you know, Treta Yuga, all yugas, human beings contain the mind which is made up of Sattva, Rajas, Tamas. The challenges may externally be different, but the individual who meets those challenges, one of the same. So therefore, this knowledge is applicable at all periods of time. It's called eternal principle. That doesn't change. The people of the past, essentially they are also Atma. People in the present, essentially are Atma. People of the future will essentially be Atma. People of the past, present, future, all will be their mind will be made up of Sattva, Rajas, Tamas. The laws doesn't change. These are called eternal principles. So Vedanta provides a very systematic knowledge that helps you slowly, slowly to understand about the different layers of your personality and the core of your personality. So it slowly, by educating you, makes you go within. It turns the mind inward, and then slowly makes you cross all the boundaries, the physical boundary, the emotional boundary, the intellectual boundary, and then get back to the self. So he says, your self is essentially divine, be a sinner or saint. This is what I was telling last week. If you understand this, you will never address anybody as a papi. You understand there are people who have all kinds of negative traits. Not that you don't understand, but you know, they do not know that their original nature is Atma. And due to the ignorance, they are doing all kinds of nonsense. So when you gain this knowledge, then you won't get involved in their outer layers. You will deal with them differently, but inside, your identification will be with the Atma in them. You will have love for them. Therefore, he says, it helps you to identify with your divine self. Once you identify with the divine self, you will be peaceful. See, the root cause of all our suffering is we move away from our true self. You know, even in the world, this example which we have discussed before also, you know. Supposing you host a Swami's lecture every year in your house, I mean, in your city, and the Swami stays in your place, let's say. He stays for a week, conducts lectures in that city. you are organizing it. So what you will tell your children, you know, Swamiji will stay for 7 days. So please, you know, you should join Swamiji and all of us for breakfast. Otherwise you know, they have the habit of getting up late. They may have breakfast late. So you say, you better come join us for breakfast. You know? So respect Swamiji. You must be in your best behavior and all that. So they say, okay, how long? 1 week. Achha, 1 week I'll do it. So they are coming. Suddenly they say the Swami, for whatever reason, he had to extend his stay by another week. Now the children go visit. And they ask, what is this? You said 1 week, now one more week. I can't be myself. Now I have to, you know, get up early, do all this. It agitates you when you move away from being yourself. Right? Now, this is exactly what is happening to all of us. We all have moved away from being myself. Instead of reclaiming my divinity, I'm identifying with my material layers, going through suffering. Therefore, he says, attain your absolute state of peace and bliss by identifying with your divine self. That is the goal of all religions. Whatever religion it may be, Buddhism, Christianity, Islam, Zoroastrianism, Sanatana Dharma, all ultimately what it wants to do, it wants to draw the divinity out of it. Brings about the oneness so that there will be social harmony. It is due to not understanding the real meaning and concept of religion, people fight. This is the problem. Today, majority of the wars are rooted in religion, they say. But it's not the problem of religion, it's the misunderstanding of religion. That's the problem. My religion versus your religion. This is the headache. He says that is the goal of all religions, to unite back to the origin, to discover the true nature. There is no other way. All of us across the world, whether you are Hindu, Muslim or Christian or whatever you may be, or even a non-believer of God, what you are looking for is happiness. And what happiness are you looking for? Infinite happiness. It's not happiness that is intercepted constantly by something or the other. You're looking for happiness that is not intercepted. You're looking for akhandananda. You understand? Therefore, that akhandananda is your true nature, is what Vedanta says. Unless and until you realize the true nature, you are not going to be happy. Till then, you will satisfy yourself bathing in the shadow happiness. It is temporary happiness, which is reflected in the objects and beings. So therefore, he says, you have got to unfold your real self, draw the divinity out of the matter layers that wear it. And that's what Vedanta helps you to do. So the etymologically the term religion means to bind, which means to bind back to the origin. That which binds one to the origin. Yoga also means the same, union, unite, unite, which means to unite back to the origin. So Vedanta helps you by explaining to you everything and giving you a method which you follow at the physical, emotional, intellectual level. It's not just explaining that you are Atma and leave you high and dry. You are Atma, but due to ignorance, you started believing yourself to be this, and therefore you are going through all this. Now slowly, slowly with this knowledge, you got to bring about a certain lifestyle change in you. At the level of the body, you do Karma Yoga. At the level of the mind, you do Bhakti Yoga. At the level of intellect, you do Jnana Yoga, then you come to meditation, realization, etc. So it talks about your real nature and gives you a method how you can unite back with yourself. That is Vedanta. So to follow Vedanta, you don't have to move away from the religion into which you are born. This is another confusion. You know, in the academy, so many people are coming and studying from different parts of the world. Some of them are Christians. So what? They don't have to convert themselves from Christianity to Hinduism or anything. There's no need. If you understand Vedanta, you can follow it being whatever you are. So there is no taboo. This is unfortunately the thing is people don't understand. So the religion has lost its Catholicity in modern times. And that's why all these wars and fights and this and that. So therefore he says, the term religion means uniting back to the origin. And that's the core of Vedanta. Therefore he says, Vedanta is the base of religion. Continue, please.
Furthermore, Vedanta excels in its scientific exposition. It expounds the truth methodologically, logically. It does not rely on the authority of a preceptor. Its truth is its authority. No master or messiah can claim it. No religion has a hold on it. It belongs to one and all. There is no distinction of caste or creed, community or country. Its universal application appeals to all lovers of truth.
So, Vedanta explains the knowledge in a very scientific and methodic way. It expounds the truth methodically. It moves slowly, slowly. It explains what is the individual made up of, what is the world made up of. What is its nature? Is it changing or unchanging? What is the definition of truth? So how do you understand untruth from truth? Then slowly, methodically, from where you are, it takes you inward to the truth which is within you. It explains you logically. You don't have to believe blindly. You understand? That's what he's trying to say. It doesn't rely on any authority of a preceptor. That doesn't mean you don't need a preceptor. Strictly speaking, you don't need a preceptor. You know? But, practically when it comes to, you need a preceptor. Theoretically when you speak, you can be without a guru. But practically you will need a guru. But even when you have the guru, you got to draw the truth yourself. You got to draw the truth yourself. So therefore he says it does not rely on any authority or preceptor. What is the authority on which it stands? It stands on the authority of the truth. It doesn't matter how many number of people believe in it. How long it's been surviving, it doesn't matter. What matters is, it is still the truth, that's all. Even if there are only 2-3 fellows following, it's fine, because that's the truth. Usually, when it comes to the truth, very few people follow. Untruth is very attractive, you know. Whereas the truth is not so attractive. So that's why he says, no master or messiah can claim it. See, here what you need to understand is, Vedanta is called as apaurusham. Paurusham means what? Apaurusham means what? You need to understand. Anything that comes out of the man's effort, human being's effort, is called Paurusham. Whereas this Vedantic knowledge cannot be claimed as Paurusham. When a human being crosses the boundaries of the body, mind, intellect through sadhana and merges with the Atma in that God-inspired state, the truth that came through that person doesn't belong to him or her. It is directly coming from Bhagavan. That's why if you see Gita, you say, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Blessed Lord said. So, the truth doesn't belong to any particular master. Agree with me? For example, in science also we say, law of gravity was discovered by Newton. It doesn't belong to Newton. It's not that Newton created it. It's already there. So these principles are there. They only resolving their ego through tapas reveal these truths. So it doesn't belong to one particular master, you see. That's the problem. A lot of people don't understand this. So no religion has a hold on it. You can't say this belongs to us or this. In fact, the term Hinduism is not the same as Christianity or Islam or any other religion. Buddhism, when you say, for example, it is given by Lord Buddha. Right? It's an ism. Whereas when we say Hinduism, it's not an ism. It is Sanatana Dharma. It is not given by just one person. We have four Vedas and then so many Upanishads in these Vedas. So many. Then we have Bhagavad Gita, Ashtavakra Gita, Rama Gita, Uddhava Gita, you know, Vishishta, Yoga Vishishta, Panchadashi, Viveka Chudamani, Atma Bodha, Vajagovindam. What are they? Kya? The list is endless. You understand? So, Brahma Sutra, all these are there. The list is going on endlessly. It's all contributed by so many people at different parts, different times. And it is contributed by them in the sense when they dissolve the ego and were in God conscious state, the truths revealed through them. So it's not that it was given by a particular personality. So how can you call it as ism? It is not given by one person to a set of people. This is applicable for a particular time only, out of which some may be applicable even today. But most of it may be for that period. But that's not the case with eternal principles. That's not the case with Sanatana Dharma. That's not the case with Vedanta. Therefore we say, no religion has hold to it. It belongs to one and all. Unfortunately, we have made it as belonging to one particular set of people, Hindu. Hindu is not a religion, so you understand? Not a religion in the sense of belonging to one particular master. It's not like that. You have so many schools of thoughts. Unbelievable. Advaita, Vishishta Advaita, then you have Dvaita. Within that there are so many groups. Means all of them have the same teachers, but they all see it differently. Darshan is different. You can do that. You are given that, what do you call, freedom to look at it, verify it, and then follow it. So therefore he says it belongs to one and all, bears no distinction of caste or creed or community or country. Its universal application appeals to all lovers of truth. You are a lover of truth, first of all you won't get into this discussion of this religion and fight with each other. You are not lover of truth, you are lover of your ego. You want to prove that the religion to which you belong is the best. Then you do all this nonsense. Therefore, he says, its universal application appeals to one and all. If you are lover of truth, it will appeal to you. It is beyond caste, creed, community. Unfortunately, the misunderstandings create issues. Continue.
Vedanta trains you to think independently, helps you to probe into the essence of the human personality, directs you to study, reflect and realize the fundamental truth of life. Thus, in the past, generations after generations put in effort to discover the real self. Later on, some spiritual enthusiasts brought out their own abridged versions of truth. They were well-meant but feeble readings of the original truth. People began to follow their teachings blindly. They lost their independent reflection and judgment. Spiritual education was no longer liberal. The masses were led by the opinion of others and fell a prey to authorities. In the name of religion, fanatic superstitions and parasitic ideas infested humanity, which has plunged people in ignorance, and the world is steeped in sorrow and suffering.
So this, the crux is to think independently, not to become a slave to anybody's thoughts. See, after having realized the truth, some masters brought out the abridged versions of the truth for people to understand. You know, we are lost in this world. Nobody has time. I have no time. Quickly, can you put it in a nutshell? People ask me also. They say, I want to study Gita. And then they say, sir, how long will the Gita class take? They come for your weekly Gita class. How long will it take? I don't know. If you say, if you want to study each and every verse, the 700 shlokas are there. Some days we do one verse, some days we do two, three. I don't know. And it may take like 6 to 7 years. Minimum 5 years. Oh, that long. No time. So, you know, some masters brought out the truth in a simple way. But people take it as tablets and they don't really do their own independent reflection. They just mechanically parrot. You know, so that's what he's saying. All these were well meant, but it has led them nowhere. It is people began to follow the teaching blindly. They lost the independent reflection and judgment. Vedanta always says, every day you must sit and study and reflect. Every day you must sit and study and reflect. So therefore he says, spiritual education has become no longer liberal. People are all calling for opinions of the others. See, you go to a particular word in Sanskrit, there's so many meanings. There's so many meanings. So, if you have not read the original and if you have not gone into the few shlokas before and few shlokas after and understand it in the right context, you can completely misinterpret. That's the problem. Like they say, no? Kama kills a cat. See, when a judge passed a sentence, he said, hang him, not let him free. That's what the judge said. He's done the crime, he needs to be hanged. Hang him, not let him free. So the fellow who typed the sentence, he had displaced the kama. He is supposed to type, hang him, comma, not let him free. He said, hang him not, comma, let him free. The whole thing changed. Where you put the comma matters a lot. This is the problem. So that's what he's saying. People are led by the opinions of others. They have fallen prey to the authorities. Because nobody wants to sit and do the independent reflection. Between every Thursday, I really don't know how many of you are sitting and studying. You don't study, it doesn't work. You will forget. What we study today, by tomorrow morning you will forget. And you are so busy, how are you going to remember all this? If you really want to bring about a transformation, you need to put in independent reflection. So in the name of religion, fanatic superstitions and parasitic ideas infested humanity. Because of the laziness, which has plunged people in ignorance, the world is steeped in sorrow and suffering. In spite of all your learnings, you still go through stress and strain. And then say, Vedanta has not helped me. Vedanta cannot help you, nobody can actually help you. Continue please.
The root cause of suffering is that people do not look within, hardly investigate the truth of life, nor exercise their own judgment. They rely on outside forces to do their thinking. the function predominantly on blind faith and mechanical ritual. This is spiritual suicide. Castes, creeds and sects are the ghosts haunting the world. The role of Vedanta is to free you from infatuation to celebrities and educate you on the eternity.
If I get you, I'll underline that line. The role of Vedanta is to free you from infatuation to celebrities and personalities and educate you on the eternities. It doesn't really matter who's saying it. What matters is it still the truth? You need to verify and take it. If it is not the truth, you can reject it. That is what he says. The root cause of suffering is that people do not look within. Hardly anybody investigates the truth. Nobody has time to exercise their own judgment. They are all wanting formulas. Simple. All you need to do is wake up in the morning from the left side. Don't wake up on the right side. You should wake up from the left side and then to open your eyes, looking at this and that, etc., etc., a lot of things like this. Oh, that's all I want. Hey, you have to sit and study. Yeah, you will do all this. Sit, study, reflect. There's a problem with these fellows. You know. They come to these fellows' class, they study, reflect, write summary, question, karo, yeah. Simple. I'm a very simple person. The more egoistic, the more simple they claim to be. Very simple. I am not interested in it. All I am wanting is just tell me which side of the bed I should get up. So that all my problems will be solved. Then there are fellows telling us, get up from this side of the bed. Don't drink water looking at this direction. And then people are also following mechanically, blindly, all kinds of, you know, things. And they believe that what is done, that's it, I'm spiritual. And they feel sad. If in your own house, if your daughter or son who questions the truth, who want to understand and then follow, not follow mechanically, you say, yeah, care, what is this? Nowadays the children are very bad, you know. Then you blame the children. All they are doing is asking questions. If you don't, you want some small things to follow and be satisfied. Do you think that will solve your problem? They function predominantly on the blind faith and mechanical ritual. This is spiritual suicide. I'm not interested in spirituality. I just want to feel good that they are following something. They believe that such a thing will solve their problem. Caste, creeds and sects are the ghosts haunting the world. They have divided themselves. See, instead of thinking about unification, they use religion to split themselves more and more. This is the problem. Hanumanji's bhakta will fight with Rama's bhakta. Who is more powerful? Hanumanji is more powerful or Rama is more powerful? Unheard of such fights, you will see. The role of Vedanta is to free you from all this nonsense. Do not sell yourself to any personality. Don't sell, be grateful. Learn from your guru, be grateful, but don't allow even the gratitude to be a stumbling block. Gratitude should also not become a stumbling block. Gratitude should be a stepping stone, not a stumbling block. If it is a stumbling block, throw that. No guru will be interested in your stagnation. Guru will be interested in you progressing, growing. And otherwise that person is not a true guru. So why you want to become followers of XYZ? Be the follower of truth, not follower of XYZ. Mahabali had given his word to Vamana, or whatever you ask, I'll give. And his guru Sukracharya told him, yeah, person who's come is not an ordinary guy, he is Mahavishnu. come in the form of Vamana. There is nothing going, I have given birth, I will keep them. Then Ramanavata is taken to destroy the ego of Mahabali and give him moksha. So he took the huge form, Vishwarupa. With 1 foot, he said, I want the land which I can measure in my 3 feet. 3 steps. He said, okay. So first step, he covered the entire earth. Second step, the whole heaven. There is no other place to keep the feet, 3rd feet. He said, where do I keep my feet? He said, keep it on the head. Story is, he made Mahabali become humble, realize that attain moksha. So in other words, if your guru stands in between you and the truth, you should say bye-bye to guru. If your mother or father stands in between you and the truth, say bye-bye. Only if they stand in between. Don't quote me half of them, say you only said bye-bye, I have already told bye-bye, I have put them in old age home. I am not saying all that. If they stand in between you and truth, firstly you should be dedicated to the truth. You understand? If you are dedicated to the truth, you will not forsake them unless they are against it. Nothing else. So therefore, he says, you've got to remove all the infatuation to all these things. You should only be interested in the truth. Nothing else. Continue please.
Thus, the great science of religion has been reduced to mere allegiance to personalities. The present religious systems are governed by maxims and mandates. There is a saying, grammar is the grave of language. Try to save the grammar, keep it invariable, the language will be dead. Just so, the rigidity of perceptors and percepts saps the vitality of religion. The intelligentsia, particularly the youth the world over, detest rigidity. They do not wish to be dictated to by doctrines and dogmas. They revolt against such unnatural education.
Continue.
Young men and women ought not to be pestered that thou shalt and thou shalt not. Whatever is forced is never forceful. Do's and don'ts are not designed for human beings. Desire for anything increases with restriction and prohibition. Static percepts, superstitious beliefs, and mechanical rituals are being thrust on people. It frustrates them. Rather, they need to be educated with the knowledge of life and living. The higher values of religion have to be presented systematically and logically to the modern intellect. The philosophy of Vedanta answers the requirements of seekers of truth. The process may take time, but is sure to elevate them.
So, people have reduced this beautiful dharma called Sanatana Dharma to just do's and don'ts, unfortunately. In fact, in religion, there are no do's and don'ts. How can there be a set of do's and don'ts for everybody? Huh? When you go to a clothes shop, ready-made garment shop, there also they have different sizes, no? How can it be that everybody should wear only one size? For somebody it will be very loose, for somebody it will be very tight. How is it possible that you have only these do's and don'ts, everything that everybody must follow? See, that's why when you say religion, it's like university. Depending upon the gunas, some may be highly sattvic, some may be highly rajasic, some may be highly tamasic. Depending upon that, you got to choose your, profession, and then depending upon that, your food habits, everything will be different. How can there be a set of do's and don'ts? Certain foods are conducive for certain goal. So if your goal is this, then you may not need that food. That doesn't mean that food is bad or good. It is necessary for your goal or not. So there cannot be one set of do's and don'ts. Unfortunately, this itself people don't understand. So they think do's and don'ts. They come now in April. Right? Who is saying? If you should not do, who should not do, why you should not do, when you should not do, all that is explained. It's not just like that. So therefore he says, the moment you make it do's and don'ts, youngsters, they say, yeah, what is this one? First you explain to me the meaning. No, no, ye karna. If you do it, it'll happen. Right? Kaisa hoga? Explain karo. At least you should say, I don't know, but there must be some meaning. Why don't we go read? Instead of that, no, 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 aisa hi karna karna. Bas, follow. And they go mad. They say, get lost. They revolt against such unnatural education. Anything forced is never forced. Remember this. If you force it, it won't go. But you explain to them, you follow that, show the advantages of living such a life through your own example, make it attractive, then the children will take it. So that's why he says, do's and don'ts are not designed for human beings. Animals need training, human beings need education. You tell the dog sit, it will sit. You tell the dog stand, it will stand. You need to train the animal. Whereas human beings needs to be educated. That is what he's talking about here. Static precepts and superstitious beliefs, mechanical rituals are being thrust on people. It frustrates them. Lord, please leave me alone this. I don't want to come. I've got to sit this way, you can't sit that way, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. So therefore he says, explain to them logically. They need to be educated with the knowledge of life and living. Higher values of religion have to be presented systematically, logically to the modern intellects. Then they will accept, okay, this is helpful. Therefore he says, Vedanta answers the requirements of all the seekers of truth. The process may take time, but it's sure to elevate them. Because by the time you understand, you grow, it takes time. You know, so many years to understand the concepts one by one and verify it in our life. It may take time, but it's definitely effective. It's like leading a lifestyle which avoids ill health. You won't fall sick only. No? But if you fall sick also, there is medicine for. That's what Vedanta is all about. It tells you how to live so that you don't fall into stress or strain. Even if you do, it tells you how to come out of it. Continue, please.
People today need to delve deep into the merits of religion. Look at Vedanta in its pristine glory. Make an independent assessment of truth without relying on authorities. The great humorist George Bernard Shaw once remarked that the most intelligent person he had met in his life was his tailor. When asked why he thought so, he promptly answered, "Because he is the only one who takes fresh measurements every time I go to him." Take up Vedanta in the same manner. Verify the knowledge taken in with its practical application in living. Try out the philosophical truths in your day-to-day living. Thus, working them out practically, you become truly religious. Instead, people the world over let themselves be hypnotized by the views and opinions of others. Even the intelligentsia have been accepting religious doctrines and dogmas passively. Some accept a religious belief just because it is the oldest. Others accept it only because it is followed by vast numbers. Still others accept it because it comes from a great personality. Few get to the merit of the teaching, much less imbibe the spirit of religion. There is a blind following everywhere. Such an approach to religion has brought about a spiritual epidemic. It is practically destroying the human race.
See, the problem is people do not want thinking. People want spoon feeding. Even in our lectures, you know, when I do the public lecture or seminar or anything to any organization also, They want takeaway. What is the takeaway? What are the 5 points he presented today? I need to summarize it for them. Because they don't have time to go back and summarize. That's the problem. People do not want to exert. They want spoon feeding. It will not work. So he quotes Bernard Shaw, who said, the most intelligent person I've met is my tailor. Every time I go, he takes fresh mission. So what I studied, how is it applicable in this context? What Vedanta is saying, is it applicable in this context? You should understand that correctly, no? So that for that first you need to sit and study and then understand is it truth or not, then try to verify it in your own life. Then make it your own, then make it your conviction. For that you need to put in efforts. How many of us want to put in that effort? Simply you just mechanically gulp it. Vedanta is saying. You get away by saying Vedanta is saying. Vedanta is saying in what context? You know, simply for example, Sri Krishna says, fight, kill. Oh, you say, oh, Sri Krishna is a murderer. He says, kill. Krishna ne bol diya, main sabko mara. My life's goal is to kill everybody. Right? What did he say? Do you understand what he said few words, few sentences before? Do you understand what he said few sentences afterwards? Do you understand the context? Simply take it out of the context and then quote it. So therefore he says, there is blind following in a, it's kind of an epidemic he says, that we have corona. Please, mechanical following. If we, because it's there on the class where we have to study, reflect, we are having about 10 people. Supposing I do one yajna, you know, participating in the yajna and having the prasad from the yajna, your family will be blessed, you will become a multi-millionaire. Now, my God, then there will be a gate crash. Too many people will be queuing up, and the entire Prithviraj road will be finished. We'll have to call the police. Because this is the problem. Oh, nobody wants to put in the effort. Everybody blindly follows. That's what he's saying. You've got to take the teaching on its merit, test it out, and then make it your own. Continue.
If religion is to serve people, it has to be judged and accepted on its own merit, not on authority. The study of Vedanta will reveal to you that it is founded on its own authority. It is based on reason and logic. You must therefore approach Vedanta as you would science or mathematics. When you study science, you do not accept the statements therein or on sheer authority. Just because they have been laid down by a Newton or a Einstein. A faith that is founded on authority is no faith. Take up Vedanta on its own merits. Do not allow the personality and life of a spiritual master interfere with his teaching. The life and teaching should be considered separately. Then alone will you be able to enter into the spirit of religion. Whatever knowledge Vedanta places before you, examine it personally. Analyze it yourself. Apply your faculty of reason and judgment. Assimilate it. Put it into practice. Verify it in your life. Thus, make it your own. Truth is your own. Nobody can claim it. You do not have to sell your liberty to any spiritual guru. The gurus drew their inspiration from their own self. The same fountainhead of inspiration is within you. You can do the same. There is no use relying on external forces for gaining internal strength.
He says you got to learn to differentiate between the teachings from the teacher. It's a very interesting line he says. Yes, the life and teaching should be considered separate. What he means is, you are only interested in the truth. From where it comes, how does it matter? If there's a possibility of learning from a lotus that comes in a dirty pond, Why do you have to stop yourself from learning something? It doesn't matter. So when it is addressing the teacher, there are the days, you better live the principles that you are talking about, because your followers will follow what you do, not what you say. You know? So therefore, you better live it. But as a student, you should be interested in the truth. That should be your interest. For example, we are students of Vedanta. What if the truth is there in Bible? Why should you not learn from it? What if there is truths in Quran? Why should you not learn from it? Truths are universal. It has come through different masters in different times. Why should you not be interested in that? You should only be interested in the truth. You should not be interested in the personality. That's what he's trying to say. If you find a personality not holding on to the truth, you can reject the personality and hold on to the truth which you learn from that. It's okay. That's all he's saying. That's one main point he's saying. And the gurus put in their efforts and drew the truth from themselves. Similarly, you can be grateful to the guru. Don't sell your personality to that guru. That is what he's teaching them. Continue.
There is a general belief that one has to retire to the solitude of the forests for the study and practice of Vedanta. Lead the life of an ascetic. This is not true. Vedanta does not expect anyone to live a life of resignation. It is not a retirement plan, but a technique of dynamic living. No doubt, this knowledge of life and living had sprung originally from the deep recesses of the Himalayan ranges. The rishis, sages had to retire to the jungles to pursue their studies, reflection and experimentation. Like a scientist would require to isolate himself to master the science he pursues. But practitioners of Vedanta, having acquired this knowledge, are obliged to work in their own fields of activity. Translate their theoretical ideas into practical living. Besides, history reveals that even preachers of Vedanta were actually engaged in serving the world. They were not recluses, but men of action working in a spirit of renunciation.
See, this is another misunderstanding which is there. There is a general belief that one has to retire to solitude or the forest for the study and practice of Vedanta. That is not true. You have to understand that even in science, the research scholars, they go to the lab and they spend their whole day in the lab and then come out with the formula which is applicable for people who live in the world. Similarly, some people might have gone to the jungles for their meditation, etc., to draw the truth out after having realized the self. But that is applicable for you to follow in your day-to-day life. Therefore, he says, Vedanta does not expect anyone to live a life of resignation. King Janaka, after gaining the knowledge from Sri Rashtravakra, realizing the self, he continued being a king. Each one decides what they want to do in life. There is no such thing that go to retire and go and follow it in the jungle, not here. This is a knowledge that is to be practiced in the din and roar of the market street. So that's what he says. No doubt this knowledge of life and living has come originally from the deep recesses, the Himalayan ranges. See, even in life, we say, get up early in the morning, sit and reflect, because the time outside is conducive. And you have also rested enough. And then you are also calm for you to think, so that you are able to think independent of your conditioning. You know? So that we say, find a quiet time. If possible, a quiet place. But it is not to be practiced only in quiet place. Then it is not having universal applicability. You know? So we say, no. This is something that is to be practiced everywhere. But to strengthen yourself, you have to probably pull yourself into solitude, think, reflect, and then come out. It's all it is. Having understood the concepts, maybe in your solitude, or come back and be in the inner role of the world. So that's why it is. History reveals that even preachers of Vedanta were actually engaged in serving the world. King Janaka, Sri Krishna. Krishna was not a recluse in jungle. They were not recluses, but men of action, working in a spirit of renunciation. So spirit of renunciation is Vedanta, because you understand the value of world. So therefore, it is not something that you have to retire. It is something that you need to practice here. With this, let's conclude. Meet next week. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyeva Udhyatmanava Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmahe Narayana Yeti Samarpayami.